Lee Richardson, who, of course, is a brain health expert. And I know, Lee, that you can speak to this as far as thinking about all these different studies that say you got to watch it, that it's interconnected. Hey, Lee.
Hey there. Well, you know, it's amazing to me because we've known for a long time that the brain and the body are connected, but why we tend to separate them? If there's something wrong with my brain, that doesn't mean it's with my body. And the body keeps score of everything going on in your brain.
Yeah, and, you know, Lee is the founder and clinical director of Brain Performance Center. MBA, MS, counseling, board of certifications, all of that. You're in a state-of-the-art facility. But, you know, you're also a mom who, and that's how the journey started for you, with a child who, you know, had a situation with a brain injury, brain health injury. And so you on so many levels, you are somebody who can put all of this together for us. And sometimes, you know, you look at these studies and so much goes over my head because it's all clinical jargon and all of that. But essentially, for people looking at something like this, and I know there are like something like 17 of these factors, but a lot of people, my husband's one of them, he has high cholesterol and he's a pretty healthy guy, an active guy. But this to me sounds an alarm bell to say, hey, it's evidence, right? That, you know, you got to watch that and make sure that you get the doctor's checkups and maybe get the cholesterol lowering stuff so that you don't, you know, that you're not at risk for this, right?
Right. And I think a lot of it is, you know, our lifestyle choices impact so many things. What we eat impacts our LDL and anything. And I don't know where I read this, but if it's good for the heart, it's good for the brain. And I believe that. And when you think about the biggest concern with your cholesterol is your heart. So it makes common sense to me that there should be a big concern about your brain.
Well, it's very true. And do you think part of it, to me, I think part of this is even the foods that are labeled in America as so-called healthy, are even a lot of the ingredients are banned in other countries, like in Europe and so on. And not just Europe, Africa, all through Europe. I was in Italy. This was a big topic for discussion. But to watch the processed foods.
I think you hit the nail on the head. Because my rule is I can't pronounce the words that are on the back of the box or the can or the wrapper, then I don't put it in my mouth. Because some of them, when you read a label, I'm just like, oh my gosh, what is that?
Yes.
Where did it come from? And it right there, stop. Don't eat it.
Get rid of it. Sometimes for me, I just bring it to our lunchroom. It disappears in a second. I'll just put it in the lunchroom, you know, get done with it for sure. But I also think, you know, when you talk about, healing and thinking about that aspect of it, when we think about nutrients and healing, that's another piece of it. I think if you're suffering with that high cholesterol, for example, it makes brain healing or any kind of healing tougher.
Well, I think you're right. And now, you know, we're looking to the future and we're looking at food as medicine. And that's where I think some of our simple answers lie. I think we've tried to depend on pharmacological compounds to be our medicine. Mm-hmm. And when they work, that's great. But they don't always work for everybody. And I think that we're looking back to make it simple. What are your basics? And food, as you said, when you opened the show, you are what you eat.
Yeah. Well, and you are what you eat. Maybe you are what you're consuming on social media, which brings me to the other study that we're going to talk about. 3 in 4 Gen Z Americans are putting the blame on social media for having a negative impact on their mental health. I'm not shocked by this, but it's a new study that creates evidence for that.
Well, I'm not shocked either, but I am shocked that even though they acknowledge that, they continue to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that's the question.
You know, some of them do it out of boredom. Some of them do it because they want to laugh. Some of them want to do it because they want to keep up with their friends. Well, I think it goes back to the COVID days, to FOMO. I think they're afraid of missing out. And when you know that you're doing something is bad for you and you continue to do it, that raises the question to me, are we starting to touch on an addiction?
Do you mean, so a social media addiction?
Yeah.
Well, it's part of it. You know, all of these different medications that are relatively new on the market, the Ozempic, and I forget all their names, of these injectables that tout the weight loss, but supposedly some of them deal with addictions. And would part of that be psychological addictions like social media?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, addiction is a brain disease. And anytime the brain does something and, oh, I like that, then the brain will start to kick out that dopamine. And dopamine is a neurotransmitter, and it's a really feel-good neurotransmitter. So, oh, I like that, and that dopamine kicks out. Well, then those little neurons and dendrites, they get confused, and it goes from I like that to I want that. I want that. Mm-hmm. More dopamine gets kicked out, and then it gets to that point where I need that. I need to check my social media. And then I get there again, that puts the brain in an unbalanced state.
Yeah, so, you know, from a positive standpoint, you know, when you think about somebody who's getting out, I think of exercise. We, during the pandemic, which you mentioned, like here in Pennsylvania, we had among the strictest shutdowns and rules in the nation. And a lot of people just getting back into it as far as their routine, even simple things like going for your routine walk or going to a gym, which a lot of people shut off their gym memberships. Is that something where you're seeing as far as brain health and healing that is something that we're getting back to?
I hope so, because the brain loves to move, and the brain needs movement. And anytime you're exercising, you're releasing endorphins, and those endorphins make you feel good. And I think that, you know, it's amazing how with the shutdown and COVID, we all shut down on different levels. Mm-hmm. And I know churches still aren't back to normal.
Yeah.
Because it's so much easier just to stay at home and participate. So I hope that we begin to see the beauty of engagement. And whether you walk by yourself or walk with a friend or walk with your dog, mm-hmm. some of the best time I spend are walking my two dogs. They actually listen when I talk. But I do hope that we'll get back to understanding the physical, because if you don't exercise, that impacts your weight, mm-hmm. both in physical inactivity, obesity, both of those. Are related to our earlier conversation, dementia.
Yeah, it's so true. Well, Lee Richardson, thank you so much. We love your insights and your calm voice. We love your, I get a lot of reaction. I love Lee's voice. You're so soothing. But Lee Richardson, a brain health coach, consultant, Lee Richardson, obviously PhD now. So congratulations on that with the Brain Performance Center. And people can always find you at Lee, the little @ thebrainperformancecenter.com to learn more. But Lee Richards, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.